So at some thoughts or appreciations on why we're doing what we're doing. Why are we here? Why are we spending the whole day in a state park where there's no cell phone reception, no internet, no fun? Purposely disconnecting, actually, from the conventional distractions, because we could have a Japa retreat anywhere. We have a gathering of devotees anywhere. But ideally, it takes a little while to hit the disconnect button from all of the things that are occupying our mind conventionally, day by day by day. So the mind's tendency is to go to those things because we do it day by day by day. So this is a refresher, refreshing, and a refresher of what our real spiritual purpose is, taking shelter exclusively of Krishna. Of course, we can take shelter of Krishna doing so many things for Krishna. But part of that is, well, a dovetail. We like doing things, and this can be done for Krishna, that can be done for Krishna as we do things. Not so much because it's for Krishna, because it's bona fide. That was another ISKCON vernacular thing. Prabhupada would be asked, is such and such bona fide? And when he pronounced it was bona fide, then like lemmings, everyone went to that which was bona fide. Remember one time Prabhupada was in an airplane, and the stewardess was coming up and down the aisle saying, would you like something to drink? And I don't know what the exchange was, but at some point she asked him if he would like some 7-Up. And Prabhupada said, what's in it? She said, what was in it? And he said, okay, 7-Up. And he drank some 7-Up and said, oh, this is nice. And then it became bona fide. Everyone ran to the store to get 7-Up. Or somebody, along with Neckbeat, started making little silver something in between each bead and silver something, and it became a fashion, an ISKCON fashion. And then Prabhupada saw it and commented, what is this? I never told you to do this. Oh, it's not bona fide. And everything, they all disappeared. Most of them disappeared. Because it's not a jewelry or a decoration. It's Vaishnava. This is Tulsi, and we're decorating the body with this. It's a standard Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vaishnava practice. Tulsi mala, Kunti mala, decorating the neck. So we like to do things, and it's bona fide, so we get to do lots of things. But the essence of those so many things is not just it's bona fide. The essence is submission to Krishna. So one of the major purposes of an event like this is to refocus on what the real essence is. Submission to Krishna, dedication to Krishna. Fixing the mind upon Krishna, manmana. And with a feeling of devotion, as an expression of devotion. Another point is that in the process of chanting, we hear it later, just chant and be happy. And then we hear, but you have to guard against offenses. To guard against offenses. I knew there was a cat somewhere. And read carefully, almost universally, but one reference that comes to mind quickly is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describing each of the 10 offenses. And there's an antidote to those offenses, each one of them. Like sadhu-ninda is the first one, blaspheming the devotees of the Lord. So the antidote is not just don't blaspheme them, but praise them, serve them, recognize them, honor them. But like in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, universal experience, everything is new and exciting, and we're enthused, just like the discussion about when the enthusiasm starts to sag, or our enlivenment meets some challenges, and the reason is there's offenses. Before we were chanting, we weren't making offenses against the holy name because we weren't chanting. And then we began chanting, and very quickly the impurities were reduced. But then we started making offenses against the holy name. So there's an antidote, something not to do. And so universally, each of these 10 offenses has a recommended one. The same for all of them. Continuous chanting. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, supposing you've made an offense to a devotee. Now, we all know from Nectar Devotion what's the recommendation. You go to that devotee, offer obeisances to that devotee, and request that devotee to give forgiveness. But supposing that devotee doesn't give forgiveness, then what are you to do? Let some time pass, show your sincerity, and go and request forgiveness again. Supposing they don't give their forgiveness, what do you do? Same thing. Repeat that a number of times, and if still, for whatever the reason, they're not issuing their forgiveness, then the recommendation is chant constantly. There's this passage from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Can't recall. It might have been Bhudimanta Khan. He was made into a Muslim. It's a long narration. I don't want to do that this morning. But when he was told the antidote was drink a kilo of molten lead, means you're dead. If you can't do that, a kilo of molten ghee, can't do that. Lord Chaitanya said, go to Vrindavan and chant the holy name. Chant constantly. So, that's one of the purposes of what we're doing. To overcome the offenses that have accrued since we began our chanting, extensive chanting to help relieve ourselves of those offenses. Eventually, by that effort, one becomes purified. In the course of becoming purified, there may be different experiences amongst all of us. It may be a struggle. Keep going, because it's purification. And on the other side of purification is less of a struggle. The struggle is because of our contamination, our impurities, the anarthas that have arisen because of offenses. Repeating something from yesterday. What we want is increased quality chanting means increased attentiveness, in chanting. And when you try something over a period of time, it tests your purpose, it tests your determination. Some of us will be tested in the course of the day. What is our determination? What is it that we really want? Do we really want Krishna and shelter in Krishna? Not just a little, but genuinely want shelter in Krishna. That'll be tested. So it's good. By making that determination, further purification. And with further purification comes the capacity for greater attention. I'll say it again in a slightly different way. It's like there are these two options. It's a struggle. I don't like to struggle. I like it easy. So just carry on without much struggle. Not much purification. Here comes a struggle. I meet the struggle with determination. What's on the other side of the struggle is purification and attention. So the reward that I get is the capacity for attention by undergoing that struggle. I'll gladly pay that price so that real I'm investing attentiveness to get to purification so that it can be a struggle-free, a spontaneous attraction for Krishna, preceding the stage of love of God. We're sadhakas, otherwise we wouldn't be here. We're engaged in sadhana bhakti. Because we're engaged in sadhana bhakti, we're here wanting to improve the quality of our sadhana. So invest in that effort to stay with the chanting of the holy name. It's a worthwhile price because it's the most valuable thing. It's our real treasure. All of the other things that you might consider in your treasury, here today, gone tomorrow, ephemeral. The real treasury, Harena Nam Eva Kevalam. It's the holy name. Madhuram Madhure Vyopi, Mangale Vyopi Mangalam. Of all auspicious things, it's the pinnacle of all auspicious things. Of all things that are of value, it's the most valuable thing. So whatever the price, pay it. And that's what we're here for. To extend that effort of determination. Yesterday, we discussed this item of steadiness of mind. And its converse, distraction of mind. Distraction of mind is there because we're attached to other things. And you may find, most likely you'll find, there will be periods during the 64 rounds today, your mind will be distracted. Or may say it the other way around. You may find there's some moments where your mind is not distracted. It's an uncomfortable place, but it's a very, very valuable place. Something maybe you remember from the previous retreats. I use this term, linen. I like terms that you're not used to because, you know, what does that mean? It gives you a fresh focus. Like Sanskrit. I don't know what Sanskrit means. So each word carries a whole new meaning because it's a new word. The lemon. Lemon is a carpentry term that means neither inside nor outside. So So like there's a doorway, double doors, and that little piece of wood or marble or whatever it is that's between inside and outside, that's called a limen. And then the area around it is another, some other term, but it's related. So the liminal space is where you're, where we are and where we want to be, and you have to cross through that in-between space. There's where we are, distracted. And we want to be undistracted. But what's standing in the way is this in-between space. And it's uncomfortable. Without commitment, it's uncomfortable. With commitment, you can pass through the in-between phase where there's distraction, but I'm chanting. And you keep chanting with focus. Proportionate to the commitment, proportionate to your conviction that spiritual reality is reality. Spiritual experience is what I really want. I want to be there. I want to be with Krishna. And Krishna is very kind. I just call and he's there. But still, I'm distracted. So we're in that intermediate space. 64 round day, or extended chanting, is an opportunity to make that extra step to where we want to be and choose Krishna as a conscious choice. Moment to moment, free will is operative because it's spiritual. It's who we are. We have free will. Many of the devotees here have been chanting for some number of years. Some devotees are newer and haven't been. So this is specifically for the devotees that have been chanting for years. What's our goal? What is it that we should be attaining? What's the measure of how well we're performing our activities in Krishna consciousness? A measure, a very clear litmus test measure, is our attraction for the holy name. Vishvaksena Katavarchi. Sianahasevyavritpra Punyatirtanashevanat. Attraction for the holy name. We should be preparing ourselves so that we can chant offenselessly. We can chant in such a way that there's a taste for chanting, not just performing the minimum, 16 rounds and the bead bag is being finished. I completed my rounds. And where there's taste, there's no end. You're not completed. So taking some time where there's a commitment, 64 rounds. It's may seem like Mount Everest, something, mission impossible. But many devotees experience in this association where there's others similarly committed, it somehow becomes quite possible. We've all heard these testimonials from people that have never chanted before and somehow they chant 64 rounds. Never chanted before and chant 64 rounds. How is that made possible? By the association of devotees. Not so much commitment. But those are new people, Krishna is helping them. Those of us that have been chanting for some time and are now dealing with the anarthas that have arisen from our offenses, it's another thing. So the goal is to become not occasionally attracted, but not only for setting example for others, but for our own spiritual progress. Connected with taste. So this is a nice opportunity for achieving that. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's expression in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, "Don't say that I have love for Krishna." This is an inference kind of statement. Don't say that I have love for Krishna, because if I had love for Krishna, in separation from him, I wouldn't be able to maintain my life, and I'm maintaining this fly-like life. I have no love for Krishna. Or in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit hears from Shukadeva Goswami the inference that because I don't have a taste for chanting, my heart is steel-framed. So Prabhupada explains, by inference, it must be there's offenses. And continuous chanting or extended chanting helps us to become free from the impurities. We could go and do them again, that's possible. But the wish, the objective is to become free from those even tendencies, as well as reactions from those tendencies, to become genuinely purified. And in that purified state, experience love for Krishna. And flowing from that love for Krishna comes loving service to Krishna of all varieties of descriptions. It all starts from this primary means of purification. Another point is, when we practice this extended chanting, when you complete 64 rounds today, the perspective on chanting changes. And one of them is 16 rounds is easy. 64 rounds may be the challenge, but 16 rounds is easy comparatively. But sometimes, because we're very, 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 very busy in a very, very busy atmosphere, some devotees at least find it difficult to complete their 16 rounds because they're so busy and do it in different odd ways, struggle. This is very humbling. If we're struggling with 64 rounds, where is it? What is our position spiritually? And if you stick with the chanting today, 64 rounds, and there's some struggle going on of some kind or another sometime during the day, stay with it. And stay with it not in the mood of mastery, like we do with material things. I'm going to become an expert, whatever it is, computer programmer or tennis player or jump on a pogo stick or whatever it is. We, you know, kartahamiti manyate, not in that mentality, but in the mentality of receiving, as we heard yesterday, receiving Krishna's mercy, being eager to receive the fullness, as fullest possible, mercy of Krishna, descending mercy coming, so that I can be lifted up. Because if I try and try and try and try sincerely, I'll recognize I don't have the capacity on my own. I need mercy. That's like a very clear realization to anyone who's sincerely tried to advance in Krishna consciousness. I can't do it on my own. I require mercy. So, with that eagerness for mercy, placing oneself, this is a reward for a sustained effort over time in trying to chant nicely. I depend upon mercy, and when that consciousness becomes secured, depending upon Krishna's mercy becomes strong, we experience something. And it's a more direct experience of our relationship with Krishna. That's very nice. That's what we want. And as we discussed yesterday, this is the symptom of steadiness. The mind can then more readily stay with Krishna because of that purification. Until then, it's a battlefield. And when there's a battle, just like in Mahabharata or any description in the Bhagavatam, where there's different fights between like different personalities, even Krishna and Jambavan. Sometimes Jambavan smashed Krishna, and Krishna smashed Jambavan. So it would go this way, that way. So in the course of the days, 64 rounds, there may be some apparent battles that you've lost. Don't become discouraged. The goal is just taking shelter of Krishna. And when that taking shelter of Krishna is there, the upliftment, the capacity for the mind to become steady is facilitated by that purification. One's mind becomes stronger, one's commitment becomes stronger, one's consciousness becomes purer. That's a goal. Not just the moment to moment, but the long haul of our day or our life in becoming fixed in Krishna consciousness. Just a few other points. There's always, since the beginning of the Hare Krishna movement, there's always been emphasis on our outreach or preaching activity. My early stage of Krishna consciousness, 10 to 12 hours every day on Sankirtan. Not a japa retreat. We didn't, you know, hear such a thing. It was preaching. And, you know, preaching and preaching and dynamic preaching is, it's lots of fun. It was really engaging and really easy for young Western people to just go, you know, gung-ho. Distribute books and Harinam and all over the town and all over the countryside and Haribo, get in the van and off we go. And when doing those services, however, a couple things. It became very, very clear that to be effective, you had to chant good japa. A book distribution is a great one for that. When you distribute, as book distributors, doing this, you know, so many hours a day, you need strength. And so you're going back to chant intensively so that you can do your service nicely. It was kind of utilitarian, not exactly pure-spirited. But there was some realization, gradual purification, because the chanting was actually the basis of the ability to do the preaching service. And then conversely, by doing preaching service, any kind of activity where you're reaching out like that, Lord Chaitanya is pleased. And when Lord Chaitanya is pleased, you get his blessing and his favor, and it strengthens your ability to chant. So we're an expansioning, growing movement, or an outreach or preaching movement, or missionary movement. So the assisting Lord Chaitanya in giving Krishna consciousness, giving the message of Krishna, giving the holy name of Krishna to others, is certainly a core part of what our life is as followers of Lord Chaitanya. Doing that enriches our ability to chant properly by getting Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And chanting our japa properly helps us become effective. Purity is the force. By making ourselves pure, we can then be proper examples and be empowered. with some spiritual potency to carry the message forward in a proper way. It will enhance our other activities of Krishna consciousness, in other words. Well worth spending a day together focusing collectively. So many sincere devotees that do so many important services for Prabhupada's movement, coming together and focusing simply on improving the quality of our chanting, cleansing our hearts collectively. Fantastic. We have a big rubbish pile out there at the end of the day. Take all those impurities away just to the power of the holy name. So, think long term when you're chanting today, 64 rounds. Think not just, what's the goal? Where do I want to be in my Krishna consciousness after X number of years of chanting Hare Krishna? The investment, I may not have taste now, but I want to have that. I want to have that eagerness when chanting Krishna's name to be absorbed in chanting Krishna's name. And from the scripture, which I have faith in, everything, the whole spiritual world is there. I would like access to that relationship with Krishna, and the medium is chanting. So, in one sense, I'm saying here, think long term, the ultimate goal and purpose. At the same time, back to the moment. Each mantra, like this other, referring to the discussion that we had last Japa retreat, one mantra at a time. Let me invest full, maximum consciousness, attentiveness, each mantra that I'm chanting. And whoever I didn't do nicely the previous one, or wish that I can do the next one better than the previous one, it's the one that I'm chanting now that's where the real test is. The real possibility lies. And then the next mantra same, and at the same, so it's in the moment. At the same time, there's a trajectory of the consciousness of the soul towards Krishna. Shabda, spiritual sound, is being extended into this dark place by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, and we contact it, or it contacts us. There's a connection between us and that spiritual sound vibration. And we become elevated just by that contact. So let us collectively pray for the mercy of our deities here, Gornatai, for the deities in your local temple, Srila Prabhupada, and the assembly of devotees, that somehow that mercy that is being invested in this opportunity given to us, that we open our hearts, receive that mercy very enthusiastically, help one another just by staying very attentive, very focused. Being in the presence of other such devotees will help someone who's struggling a bit get connected again to the activity, the focus of chanting Krishna's holy name. I'll make a request once again, as I did yesterday. Some people are here today that weren't here yesterday. Mona is something we request you all to carefully observe, meaning when we break, I guess it's breakfast time, and so even during breakfast, the normal conversation thing you don't do, and come back and chant. And if there's something that has to take place with children, do it very, very quietly, and if necessary, take them outside and do like that. But even outside, maintain Mona as you're walking about as far as possible. Weather-wise, let's see what happens. It's supposed to have some rain, but I encourage you to stay inside, stay together. We have more than one Tulsi? Just one. So let's put Tulsi in the middle of the room. Good luck. Have a nice time chanting 64 rounds. Those that, in the schedule, those that are not going to be chanting 64 rounds, according to the schedule and according to the weather, we'll meet at that little one of those places over there where they take prasadam, and we'll have a 32-round japa class over there sometime in the afternoon, whatever the schedule says. Do we have a... so we don't have to ask each other during the course of the day, can we post a schedule by the door so that if you don't know what time prasadam is, it'll be by the door? Huh? You'll post it on that bulletin board. Yes. 9:30. Fantastic. We chant together for an hour. Okay. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.